God of the wind and the wave, of the word and the silence. We come to you in the busyness of our lives, seeking your strength, your courage, your patience, and your wisdom. Enter into this moment. Enter into our lives and calm the chaos of our minds. Clear our vision of all that gets in the way of seeing you before us clearly. This we ask in the strong name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a lot of reasons that I really like this piece of scripture. One of them right out of the gate is that it reminds us of the importance of praying. At the beginning of the passage, we hear that after dismissing the crowds, Jesus went off by himself to pray. Here we see that even Christ needed rest, needed renewal, a moment for communing with God, the one that he called Father. As a person who finds great power in those moments of prayer, this passage is a great affirmation, as are many passages, for the act and the power of prayer in our lives. This reading also shows us the real power and the real compassion of Christ. The events of this reading follow on the heels of the feeding of the multitude, and so we see his compassion for those who are hungry and the power that comes in the feeding miracle. We also see how he responds to his disciples in the midst of a great storm, the tumult of the water. In the midst of their great fear, he comes to them on the water, calming the storm with his powerful presence. But even more than all the things that Christ teaches us and reveals to us in this story, one of my favorite parts that we often just gloss over is the courage and the faith of Peter. He doesn't have the benefit of godly parentage like Christ does, but what he does have is a deep faith in this man who is walking on the water. All he needed was a word from his teacher, his friend, and he walked on the water like any son of God. Well, until fear overtook him. But what is amazing is that moment where faith changes the world around him. A learning for us that what seems impossible can be accomplished even in the face of great fear. For me, this passage, this reading from Matthew, has been a companion throughout my last year as president of Maritime Conference, because during this last year, there has been a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear in the church. With the coming changes in the United Church, it has been like we've been tossed on the waves of remits. It's like we've been blown from where people expected to be by the winds of uncertainty. And we have been those disciples on the boat, waiting for Christ to come to us. When I've gotten a chance to preach on my travels, I often use this passage with a focus on Peter and how his focus on Christ helped him to overcome the storm and his own fear, if only for a moment. Here, Peter was meant to be a reminder that even when we feel like we are on the edge of losing everything, we must risk in faith to follow the Holy Spirit wherever it might lead us. But as I said, I've talked a lot about Peter in this last year, and I've been neglecting some other parts in this story. Perhaps parts that we identify with even more. The rest of the disciples. The boat isn't just carrying Peter out that he might be an example for us to follow. It is filled with the rest of the 12. Does anyone know what the rest of the disciples are doing in the midst of the storm, the wind, the rain, and Christ walking on the water? What are they doing? They're what? No, they're not sleeping. What are they doing? Tossed by the winds and the wave, blown off course by the wind, what? No, they're not praying either. They're terrified. They are terrified by what's going on around them. They are huddled in the back of the boat for fear, not just of the waves and the water, but of this man, of this thing, or whatever it is coming to them in the storm. They're pulling a really good Scooby-Doo impression when they see Jesus, because rather than cry out in triumph because their Lord has come, they cry, "Ghost!" Right? And really, that's the most that we hear of the disciples until after Jesus calms the storm, when they praise him, seeing clearly now that the rain is gone, that here before them stands their Messiah, the Son of God. So what about these other 11 should draw our attention from Peter walking on water? Because that's pretty amazing. Well, the truth is, not many of us are Simon Peter. Not many of us can question Jesus at every turn and still have the faith deep and wide enough to step off that boat, to risk everything for what we believe and who we believe in. And let's face it, none of us are Christ. We don't have the benefit of being wholly human, wholly divine, second member of the Trinity. We have access to the Holy Spirit, yes. But let's be honest. We don't trust it in the same way that Christ trusted the path that he was called to. Sometimes we take heed of the word of the Holy Spirit, but often it's only when we weigh it against so much of our own brokenness and fear. Like the disciples, we see Christ dimly through the pouring rain. We hear the Holy Spirit faintly above the din of our crowded and loud lives. Sometimes Jesus standing right in front of us, surrounded by the chaos, scares us. We don't recognize him. More often than not, because we aren't Jesus and because we all aren't like Peter, we must acknowledge that we are more like the other disciples in the boat, cowering and afraid. How is this good news? Why is it good to be one of those who are too afraid to see what God is doing right in front of them? Well, they weren't alone. Those 11 other disciples on the boat were not alone in their fear for what was happening, for their blindness to God reaching into their lives. Like them, we live and work and worry together. We worry about our world, our lives, what's happening, what might happen. It might not seem like much consolation to be a group of people afraid together, but think of those times in your life where you were afraid because of what was happening, where at first you felt like you were alone only to find that you had kindred in Christ walking that journey with you. We give our strength to one another. We can lift one another up when we fall, and the darkness never feels so dark when you know that you have someone by your side. In our individual lives, we go through traumatic situations all the time. Death of a loved one, the loss of job and security for the future, treatments for cancer. All of these are storms on the waters of our lives, and through them all, we are either supported by or offer support to our neighbors, our friends, our family, strangers. When I look back on my own life, I see the many times where I was not alone in my brokenness and fear. When I was just entering my teen years and my mother died from cancer, my family was by my side, yes, but so was the whole community, and not just the church either. They wrapped my family in the arms of their love, and they carried us through that storm. When Natalie and I struggled through miscarriages and a very difficult pregnancy, we did not stand off by ourselves, but in our fear and in our love, we carried one another from one day to the next. In these hardest of times, even if it is just one other person, we are not alone. And if you feel like you are alone, you don't have to look far to see the hand of another reaching out to help you, to hold you through it. The same goes for the church. As we go through a tumultuous time in the life of the United Church of Canada, we do so side by side, seeking a way forward together. Yes, some of us are Peters. Some of us are stepping boldly into a future, trusting in where Christ is calling us to, trusting that the storm will end. But a lot of us are huddled in the back of the boat. A lot of us can't see through the storm to what waits on the other side, and so we seek to console one another in the midst of our fear. And that is good. As I said, the place of the rest of the disciples in this story is not just to wail in fear, although they do that really well. Their place in this story was not just to exemplify Peter in that they weren't showing the faith that he did. Because when Jesus walked out on that water, he was seeking all of the disciples. When he was not far off and those in the boat cried out, "Ghost!" Jesus wasn't just speaking to Peter, he spoke to them all, and he said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Same goes for us. Christ is seeking us. Through the driving rain that can often be our troubles. And he is speaking those same words of comfort over the winds of our worry. Like the storm in this passage, the storms in our lives pass. Even the ones that have been raging for years, even the ones that are clouding our hearts and minds today, they do pass. Let us hold one another close in those hardest of times. A reminder that we were not created to be alone, but together. In those times of fear, let us give one another courage and strength. And through it all, let us hear the words of Christ as he comes to embrace us and calm our fears. "It is I. Do not be afraid." Amen.